Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And a pleasant good afternoon to everybody up and down the valley. It is always great to be with the best audience in the world. We haven't given out the phone number in a while. Need to do that. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Joe Susan today on the recruiting class that Bucknell brought in. 14 players in that recruiting class. We'll talk to the head coach about that. I think, what, 335 sound right?
Yes, it does.
Outstanding drop-in.
That broadcast school is sure paying off.
Audrey Snyder, Post-Gazette today. We're going to do a lot on wrestling tomorrow. We had to reschedule Jeff Byers for tomorrow. Sometimes things come up. So he had to reschedule Jeff for tomorrow. And also Nate Cobbler is going to be out tomorrow with Center Daily Times. A big, big, big dual meet tomorrow between the defending national champion Ohio State and the future national champion in Penn State. Not how Cale Sanderson wanted me to say that.
That thought ran through my mind. I'm like, I'm sure that's not the way he looks at it.
I don't. Guess what? I don't announce their stuff. I can say whatever I want. If I want to say that I think they're the future national champions, fine. I can do that. I'm not married to the system. Oh, goodness gracious. Great to have you with us here. So we got more recruiting coming up today. Audrey, a little bit more on what Penn State did. And Joe Susan on what Bucknell did. Then plenty of wrestling tomorrow. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times, Jeff Byers, and let's see. Where's your memo?
Didn't have one today. I figured you had a full show. You didn't need me to fill in the gaps. Full show. No gaps needed. No gaps allowed.
Full show. I mean, we got two guests today. I mean, you know, we're good. Not full. That's why I gave out the phone number, 800-795-9565. It's going to get, you know, it's really, and I mentioned this yesterday, and Jack Ham and I were talking about this on the phone today, and we talked yesterday about this too. It's amazing what perception does to an opinion. Obviously, Penn State, you know, the early going, you know, they're highly ranked and recruiting. Well, you know, they ended up, I don't know what, 18th, I think, was the number in the end somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's the highest-ranked recruiting class they've had here since 2006. Now, in the end, we'll find out what the true rank of all these classes happen to be. But it's the highest rank they've had since then. Okay. Yet, you would think that Penn State went out and had just gone through a recruiting cycle of utter and complete disaster. You would think that the way it played out, right, that Jack Dawson and Rose were sitting there on the Titanic saying, you know what? This doesn't look good.
Don't let go.
Let me put you this way. She let go. All right, so when you look at it, he's had classes now of 24, 23, and 18, or some, you know, or 19, whatever it happens to be. And the parts are fitting together where they need to positionally and so forth. Is the program numbers-wise in better shape than it was 3 years ago? Yes. Is the program in better shape position-wise? Yes. Is the program more athletic than 3 years ago? Absolutely. Those are all three very important critical steps in moving Penn State forward. Now let's take it to the other side. If I were to tell you this grouping was ranked as high as 34th in one and as low as 40 in another, and then it was a 38 in there and a 36, so there's four of them, right? So 34, 36, 38, 40, the four rankings. This group is jumping up and down for joy. Jumping up and down for joy. And that happens to be the group in the western part of the state. And I said to Jack this morning, if Penn State were ranked 38th in recruiting, people would be on top of the bridge and would have to be spending the entire afternoon talking them down. It's all about perception. If Penn State were in the upper 30s in recruiting, people would need to talk them off the ledge. Meanwhile, the other group's like, look what we did. Okay, well, good. We'll find out in the end how it, in reality, how it plays out. You got to be smart about this. It's a jump. It's a leap from one to the next. You know, high school to college, it's not easy. Some, to their credit, the really great ones do it with complete ease. And we see it all the time. When we see it all the time, you still only see it with a select group, that upper 10% maybe. And they do it with real ease. Then you see others that eventually they do make their mark and they do well, but it takes them a little bit to get acclimated, or maybe they're at a position of strength and it just takes them a little bit to crack the lineup. And then there's another group that doesn't quite make it. Usually if you get a 60 to 70% success rate with players that you recruit, 60 to 70%, you've done really well. So in other words, if you recruit 25 players, you sign them, and you get 15 to 18 of them that are real contributors over the lifetime of the program that they're there, you've done really well with that recruiting class. That's why when Penn State was forced down the numbers that were 15, now you're talking about, you know, you got a hit on nine guys. You really, in fact, yeah. Instead of being able to miss on, and miss is a relative term, but it's the best word I can find at the moment. If you miss on 7 to 10 guys out of 25, you still have a 60% hit rate. Not bad. You like to hit 70, but 60 is good. But if you only have 15 and you miss on 9 or 10, that means you've only hit on five or six. That's only a third. That's why the additional numbers mean so much. I really like what they did. 2 5 stars in one class, which of course would be Miles Sanders and Michael Mennett. What, seven to nine? I think what, nine other guys? Nine other guys had a 4-star rating somewhere in some service out of the 4 primary services. Everybody else is a 3. And everybody's talking about what happened late. Well, they didn't get this guy that late. This guy got flipped late. Like, a lot of the guy that they got late that a lot of people are really raving about, and I have no idea. I've never seen him play, but they're right of this Anthony Johnson, the corner. You heard Ryan Snyder go on about that most of the recruiting service people are saying, wow, I mean, there's a steal late in the whole process. He wasn't on the radar. So, I mean, we'll see. It's all one big guessing game at the moment, where the sheet of paper at the moment looks spectacular for so many people. And for some, and on some, there's going to be absolute hits. Some are going to be absolute hits. And then there are going to be some that you just know that they have to be an absolute hit, and it doesn't turn out that way. And here is a good example is Noah Spence. Noah Spence was signed by Ohio State. He was a can't-miss prospect out of Harrisburg. And you know what? When he got on the football field for Ohio State, he looked like a can't-miss guy. But off the field, he had issues. No longer at Ohio State. Urban Meyer had to dismiss him. Now he's eligible for the NFL draft. But you'll notice he'll be in the NFL draft under the banner of Eastern Kentucky. And he is still a blue-chip talent. He is considered to be one of the top 15 players in the NFL draft. So you don't know. Cam Newton. Let's look at the two quarterbacks in this game. Peyton Manning, can't miss, five-star, blue-chip, goes to Tennessee, has a blue-chip, five-star career, and now has had a blue-chip, five-star NFL career. Cam Newton went to Florida. Got in trouble. Went to a junior college. Finally went to Auburn, when many people thought he was going to Mississippi State. Then won the Heisman. Then was the number one pick. Now he's a blue-chip NFL quarterback. Different routes. Bucknell signing 14, by the way. Joe Susan will join us at 3:35 to talk about that. Audrey Sider, Post-Gazette on the show today. It is great to have you at 1-800-795-9565. I'd love to hear from you on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
800-795-9565. Bad night last night for the Nittany Lions on the hardwood as Iowa took them out 73-49. Iowa's a team right now that would either be on the 1 or 2 line for the NCAA tournament. Iowa played good last night, not great. Yeah, Penn State, I mean, the Watkins thing has really been hanging over them the whole time. Not having Reeves the last 6 games hasn't helped them either. They've got to get out of the gate quicker. They've got to find more offense. You will never win a game, never win a game, when you are 1-for-20 outside the arc. Never. It's in today's game, the modern game, it is almost impossible to do that. Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug. How are you today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Hey, just a quick question following up on your recruiting conversation there. In general, what do you guys think or feel about how social media has impacted recruiting? From Nordian.
Good question.
And all that stuff. I mean, anything now, it's all immediately online on Twitter, whatever, Facebook, and immediately people start trolling them, whatever. It's all a big production nowadays. What's your feeling on how it's affected recruiting?
Doug, that's a great question, and it's a great conversation starter, too. Social media, the impact across the board, I think just in everyday life, has become something dramatic and something I didn't expect. I never expected Twitter to be the impact medium it is. It's used by news reporters to get stories out right away, and it's used by players. What is it called now? What, the Players Tribune? Where players can post online in their own way as how they feel about things. I think Derek Jeter started that. Well, Twitter in some ways is your own personal Players Tribune, where you can put out how you feel about something, how you feel about your visit, how you feel about the school you went to, where you're leaning to. You can express your opinion in any way. And it's also a primary source for reporters and for fans trying to read the tea leaves as to where somebody's going to go.
Joe didn't used to release the names of the recruits. Is that correct? That was a relatively new thing.
Yeah, he did not release it until he got to, I want to say 2008. From 2008 on, they did release the names. But and then he'd do a little press thing. I never had any trouble. I was always able to call him and say, look, I want to do the annual recruiting thing. And he'd say, well, Steve, you know how I feel about that. He says, but I also know how you're going to ask the questions, so we'll do it. And I usually did 5 to 10 minutes with Joe every year about it. But it was always about, you know, what do you think of the names? How do you feel about positional amounts? Like important football things beyond just, hey, tell me what Miles Sanders can do. I mean, Doug, I've never seen Miles Sanders play. I've never seen him play. And I'm not going to watch a highlight tape because, I mean, show me a fumble.
Right. I'm not sure whether this social media has actually been a good thing as far as, especially as recruiting. I know what Ryan Snyder and the rest of the recruiting services do, but it's like yesterday, it's nonstop intense, you know, of people contacting these kids, you know, during class, after class, things like that. Like Ryan said, he gets how many calls within the span of an interview. I'm not sure in the overall scheme of things it's really been a good thing.
I tend to agree with you, but maybe that's an age thing on my part, Doug. I never mind having it fall into place and watching it fall into place. Instead of constantly in this barrage and the information overload, some young people are extremely responsible as to how they use social media. Others are rather vain as to how they use social media. And you have to pick out which one, you know, what's real and what isn't real. And that makes it very difficult.
You know what? You make a really good point there, Steve. And let me take it one step further. It shows a lot about the character of the player you're recruiting to when you start following them on Twitter and finding out what they're talking about and what they're saying and how they're saying it. It's going to tell you an awful lot about that potential recruit, too. So I think in that aspect, it's somewhat beneficial to the recruiting process for the school.
I always love the, hey, starting to follow this group on Twitter. Okay. You know, Doug, do you notice who I follow on Twitter?
Not even me.
Not even you.
That's why James Franklin kids me about this all the time. He says, Steve, I know you're not a big Twitter guy.
Do you cover this topic in your class that you teach?
I do, but I mostly cover it under the responsibility of I'd rather have you be second and right than first and wrong.
Right. Okay, well, thanks for your time today. I know we're up against the hour, so.
Hey, Doug, thanks so much. And that's part of it is that you do have a lot of sources to check. Today's reporter does need to check social media. If they don't, there's the possibility they're missing a story. So today's reporter has to check social media. But there's nothing like that one-to-one contact. We actually call them and talk to them. I know it seems a bit old-fashioned, but then that's me. Pure conversation. Like Kevin, for example, I could say to him, I think the music's too loud.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Of course, I was in Iowa the night of the Iowa caucus because we had to go in early. And then last night I saw, you know, my good friend Gary Dolphin, who's the outstanding play-by-play voice of Iowa football basketball. And he asked me, he says, so did you vote in the caucus? I said, the ballots from the 42nd precinct are up in my room. That's the one that's in doubt,
that
by the way, is the 42nd precinct.
That explains it.
I said, Dick Girardi and I said, we were the head of the ward.
You two were the ones in each caucus that, on the Democratic side that couldn't decide and had to go to a coin flip because you just wanted to see how many coin flips you could win.
And not only that, we used the NFL referee from the Arizona Green Bay game.
So the coin didn't flip at all.
He never flipped. All right, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf in just a few minutes. This day in sports history, very pleased to bring in our friend, the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, it's great to hear your voice again.
It's a privilege to join this caucus.
Yes, it sure is.
I still haven't figured out what a caucus is, but this is an interesting race we're dealing with.
Oh, it was funny because I went down to the lobby that night, and I went through the bar. Jeb Bush was sitting there, so
really?
it was a little different, a little different. So, all right, I put 14 names down in front of you, and we'll find out over the next few years how it plays out. But how do you initially feel about those 14 names that you have right there?
I feel very good. We actually added a young man last night. He's a West Coast kid. His name is Blake Fletcher. He's from West Lynn High School in West Lynn, Oregon. And the time change got in the way of his national letter of intent. But the combination of the young men that we've dealt with through this process, the young men that we've signed, and our needs really make this class a special class. And obviously, you really don't find out about them until they get here. But the way football works in this league, there are going to be components of this class that wind up playing right away. You have them for four years, and I tell them that during the recruiting process. We're not recruiting you to come in here and wait. We're recruiting you to come in here and play. And the worst thing they can do for themselves, but more importantly for the team, is say in their minds, I'm going to wait my turn. All right? Your turn's now. And I think we enhanced our size. We enhanced our speed defensively. And we actually had a real special fast guy that is coming in offensively, Stephon Moore Green, who If you were to watch his film, it looks like it's sped up, and that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing. You have some linemen in there that can play either defense or offense. When you have limited numbers that you can recruit, how important is that kind of versatility in your decision making?
It's critical, and we feel if we can bring in a young man that we like defensively, that'll be his priority for us initially. And we brought in John Hunt as a defensive tackle. He's a six-footer. He's 298, and I think his high school team gave up a real limited amount of total rushing yardage throughout the year, and he's one of the big reasons. And then we actually have three defensive ends coming in this group, Sean Naaman from Red Bank, New Jersey, Zach Quilty, who played standing up this year from Tampa Jesuit, and he's more a hand-on-the-ground guy. He knows it. We know it. And then Blake Fletcher from West Lynn, Oregon. All three of those guys bring a speed factor that I believe will really help us on the edge defensively. Then in the offensive line, I've been of the philosophy and always will be that you play with four tackles and a center. In terms of length, and Noah Stevenson is just over 6'3", true 285. Justin Falcone is a 6'5 guy that's 250s, long, lean. And then I know that Eric Luechner is going to be an inside guy. He's the guy that on his huddle account shows him pulling a pickup truck around. So I want to get him used to pushing the pickup truck around, but he's a 6'2". He's wrestling now, so he's light. He's a light 280. And the combination of those big guys, they're so hard to recruit, especially the offensive line, because everybody in the country, there'll be teams that play defensively with three down guys. I don't see many offenses playing with three offensive linemen. You always play with five. And if you have more than that, you can play with more than that, too. So I thought we did very well in the O-line, D-line. And, that's where you get it done, especially with the way we play the game.
Now, everyone will notice, though, also among the, what now, 15 names that you have, is there's a quarterback and there's a running back in there. What opened the door for you to, and what attracted you to each one of them?
Jacob Wilson is a young man we had contact with during the early part of his junior year, and it was obvious on video that he had the tools to do what we do offensively, but he's also athletic enough to make time for himself. The other thing about Jake Wilson is that he is a student of the game, and what he did once he committed, he took over recruiting, and he had all these guys tied into a, and I know it's sometimes beyond Kevin, you and me, the Twitter, the chat room, and but he right. did a great job of recruiting, and he's the first guy that got me this morning. When am I going to get the playbook? When am I going to get the weight program? Those are important things for that position, and I'm excited about him. And then Chad Freshnock, we had him in camp, and right now Chad is undefeated as a wrestler. I don't want Dan Wernsberger to know that too much, but we had him in the low 4.5s, and so that's a big back that can run fast. And I watched him wrestle the other day. It's unique because the dynamics of high school wrestling are different than college wrestling. They flip a coin initially where they decide which team sends the guy out first for a specific weight class. And he's wrestling 220, and the opponent's team tried to avoid him, but because his team won the coin flip, it wound up going 220 versus 220, and the kids were best friends growing up. And our guy won it in 3 rounds, and I called him yesterday because he wrestled last night. I don't know how he did. I said, don't take it a full 3 rounds this time. Put him on his back right away. But wrestlers bring a leverage component that at times is overlooked in this sport, but some of the best tacklers I've ever recruited are wrestlers. And there's a shot of Chad Freshnock running, almost getting tackled, put his hand down and pivoting on 3 points and continuing the run. And, you know, that's the advantage of the balance and the agility that wrestlers have. So it's we need a hammer at the running back position, and that's what Chad is. And he's also a 4.5 kid, which that helps as well.
When you have everybody in FCS has to deal with this, but when you have limited numbers, and if you can get a hit rate of 60 to 70% in terms of being players for you, that's what, about 10 guys out of 15. Now, you hope all 15 are, but let's just say 10 out of 15. What kind of pressure does that put on you in the evaluation process because you don't have any kind of fudge factor with numbers?
One of the things that's readily obvious at this level is you can't bring in a kid at each position every year. It doesn't work that way. There's 22 of them, and then you add the punter, you add the kicker. So you've got to be right in the decisions that you make. And a lot of it, I credit our staff in terms of them being thorough. But it's the approach we have in recruiting, getting to know these guys, not just when they become seniors, getting to know them now. And I sent out an email to the 2017s, and one of the in big, bold print at the end of it, I said, you are next. And I've gotten some responses already, and some kids want to commit right now. I don't think our admissions department would enjoy that. and it hasn't gotten to that. And it has gotten to that, unfortunately. But the way we evaluate them, once we get a feel for who they are academically, who they are as people, it's a progressive manner that we watch them as recruiting coaches. It moves on to the position coach. It moves to the coordinators. And if we have questions, we'll bring in the entire staff and just share video on guys. And that's the other thing that has really helped us in every program in the country. The huddle video really gives you access to anybody you want at any time. And right. You know, when you go back into the dark ages where I existed as a player, you had 16 millimeter. And you had one copy of every film, one copy of every game. And if a couple guys were being recruited from the same school, dividing that up wasn't the easiest thing to do. And this makes it so much better. And that has enabled us to be much more efficient. The most important thing, though, I think, is getting to know them as people, getting to know their parents.
I was about to ask that, the relationship part.
Yep, getting to know them as people, getting to know their parents, seeing them around their parents, seeing a young man and how he treats his mom, seeing a mom and how she treats the guy. Is she babying him? Is she doing his laundry all the time? And, you know, you got to cut the cord someplace, but that is the most important thing when it comes to finding people, not just players, not just students, but people that can fit into your program. And I think we do a very good job of that. I think part of that's reflective of how we've been able to, the kids that we've recruited up till now have stayed with our program. It's a tribute to them. We get them up early again tomorrow morning. I've been trying to get Kevin over here at 6 o'clock in the morning, but sometimes I know Kevin's just coming in from the night before. So
6 o'clock in the morning? I'm not even breathing by that point. You don't want to see me at 6 o'clock in the morning, Coach.
All right. I agree with you. It's are they going to be able to? Because what's happened is that for a lot of these guys, they're at the top of the food chain. And the challenge of getting smacked in the mouth the first live drill they do and kind of looking at you like, geez, this wasn't like it last year. The challenge of the work they have to put in outside of the game, in the weight room, studying film, it changes in college. And regardless of how hard you work in high school, the weight room's going to be different. The film study has to be different. So you have to have recruited a guy that has the moral fiber that he's going to be able to do these things and thrive. And I always, when I started out as a head coach, in creating roommate pairings, I would say in my mind, I'm going to put followers with leaders, all right?
Right.
I don't recruit followers anymore. Now, to be a leader, you have to learn how to follow initially. It's a military concept, but that's the other thing. We recruit guys that are leaders on their team. We spend a lot of time evaluating them outside of speaking to the head coach. You know, I'll just walk down the hallway and talk to a teacher and ask her what she feels about a guy, talk to the cafeteria people, the custodians. And so you get a better feel, and if there's any hesitation, that creates a hesitation in my mind that might play out in finding a guy that he might be a great player, but does he have holes in his armor when it comes to the type of person he is?
Can that teacher or coach then also give you the impression as to who is a self-motivator?
Very much so. Just for instance, and I'll call him out, Sean Naaman, defensive end out of Red Bank High School. And what's unique about that, there's three schools in within one and a half miles. The two other schools, Rumson and Red Bank Catholic, have been at the top dog in that area, and Red Bank Regional hasn't been. His high school coach is a guy I've known for a long time. He said that Sean took over the defense. And there are times where when you see a young man do that, when you see a young man start to teach the younger guys, that becomes a self-starter, and it goes home. I spent an evening with he and his mom and dad, and being from New Jersey, sometimes you like those pure Jersey people, and because I am one, and yep. mom and dad are those people, and you get excited when you go to a kid's home, and you know right away that kid has been accountable to his family. I called a kid up the other night. He was vacuuming for his mom. And I said, she's going to pay you off? He goes, no, coach, I just do chores. I said, well, make sure you vacuum well, and when you come here, you can vacuum for me, because that is one of the least rewarding experiences. When I was a kid, I couldn't understand why my mom wanted me to vacuum, because the dust's coming back tomorrow. But
right.
I guess it's like painting. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
One final question, and this is a big picture question. When you look at, you talked about relationships and finding out how they are around parents, talking to teachers, the head football coach, and so forth. Head football coaches have been very important along the way in the recruiting process and the relationships with them. Now, this will affect FBS more than FCS, but Nike wants to do the 7-on-7 thing. AAU, in basketball, they'll tell you the AAU coach has far more influence on what's going on with the player as opposed to the high school coach. Are you concerned that this is an avenue in football that would create the same element?
Very much so. Very much so. And the AAU concept is already in high school football. And it's unfortunate because it takes away from, because the AAU group isn't the high school team. It's a collection of high school players from different high schools. And the team concept is so important. And, you know, just looking back at my experience, the thought of being on that field was something that as a little kid you dreamed of. And
yes,
I think it potentially dilutes that in many ways. Now, there are certain programs in this state, in the states we recruit, the strength of that program, Southern Columbia, for instance, the strength of that program is brought up from a young age, from youth football, Pop Warner. You know, you want to play for Jim Roth and Southern Columbia football. Those things, I think, will persist, but there's still that fringe that I think is expanding with the AAU-ism of high school football. And I think it's dangerous, too, because you're playing touch football. And, you know, there's a lot of big people in that aren't playing in the AAU that you better have good big people. Otherwise, you know, when it comes to hitting people, that touch football goes south. But I know we won't stop it. But it's a challenge for us. The one thing that I really push our staff to do, and it's something I was brought up on in recruiting, is that develop a relationship with a high school coach. And
yep.
Unfortunately, the high school coach is getting pulled farther and farther away from the decision-making process because parents are hiring recruiting services. I had a parent call me about recruiting services, and they asked me my opinion of two. And I said, well, this one, how much does it cost? And he told me. I said, well, this one's just as good, and how much does it cost? And he told me. I said, how much money you pay on a recruiting service isn't going to get you recruited any differently. Your video, your presence at camp, your transcript, those are the things that tell you. You know, somebody going to sit and promise you a scholarship based on you paying them to market your film, doesn't work that way, and that's another thing that we've got to watch out for, because basically what it's becoming is they're agents, and you know, anybody that's been around agents, you approach them with some skepticism. They might be the best people in the world, but you still approach them with skepticism. It's unfortunate, but it's something that we've got to battle, and I know the high school coaches battle it daily.
Joe, absolute pleasure. Great to have you with us again.
It's good to have you. I told Kevin I miss him. His the pitter patter of his little feet coming up on the sideline on Saturdays, and I can hear him coming from a mile away. You know, I don't even have to put my ear to the ground.
Yeah, that's my hunting problem. I can't sneak up on anything.
Miles away. You screw it up for the other hunters.
All I have to do is get up and start walking, and it's game over.
I would imagine how big you look in camo.
Imagine what it looks like in fluorescent orange.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, then you don't need any lights.
No, I'm good.
Yep. I appreciate it, you guys, and look forward to talking to you very soon.
Very soon, spring practice coming up, Joe. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Kevin. Take care, man.
Have a good one, Coach.
Bye.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.